Chapter 16. In the fall of 1977, during the first quarter of his senior year, Todd joined the Rifle Club. By June of 1978, he had qualified as a marksman. He made all-conference in football again, won 5 and lost 1 during the baseball season, the loss coming as the result of 2 errors and 1 unearned run, and made the 3rd highest merit scholarship score in the school's history. He applied at Berkeley and was promptly accepted. By April, he knew he would either be valedictorian or salutatorian on graduation night. He very badly wanted to be valedictorian. During the latter half of his senior year, an odd impulse came on him, one which was as frightening to Todd as it was irrational. He seemed to be clearly and firmly in control of it, and that at least was comforting. But that such a thought should have occurred at all was scary. He had made an arrangement with life. He had worked things out. His life was much like his mother's bright and sunshiny kitchen, where all the surfaces were dressed in chrome, formica, or stainless steel. A place where everything worked when you pressed the buttons. There were deep and dark cupboards in this kitchen, of course, but many things could be stored in them, and their doors still be closed. This new impulse reminded him of the dream in which he had come home to discover the dead and bleeding wino in his mother's clean, well-lighted place. It was as if, in the bright and careful arrangement he had made, in that a place for everything and everything in its place kitchen of his mind, a dark and bloody intruder now lurched and shambled, looking for a place to die conspicuously. A quarter of a mile from the Bowden house was the freeway, running 8 lanes wide. A steep and brushy bank led down to it. There was plenty of good cover on the bank. His father had given him a Winchester 30-30 for Christmas, and it had a removable telescopic sight. During rush hour, when all 8 lanes were jammed, he could pick a spot on that bank and... why, he could easily... do what? Commit suicide? Destroy everything he had worked for these last 5 years? Say what? No, sir. No, ma'am. No way. It is, as they say, to laugh. Sure it was, but the impulse remained. One Saturday, a few weeks before his high school graduation, Todd cased the 30-30 after carefully emptying the magazine. He put the rifle in the back seat of his father's new toy, a used Porsche. He drove to the spot where the brushy slope dropped steeply down to the freeway. His mother and father had taken the station wagon and driven to L.A. for the weekend. Dick, now a full partner, would be holding discussions with the Hyatt people about a new Reno hotel. Todd's heart bumped in his chest and his mouth was full of sour, electric spit as he worked his way down the grade with the cased rifle in his arms. He came to a fallen tree and sat cross-legged behind it. He uncased the rifle and laid it on the dead tree's smooth trunk. A branch jutting off at an angle made a nice rest for the barrel. He snugged the butt plate into the hollow of his right shoulder and peered into the telescopic sight. Stupid, his mind screamed at him. Boy, this is really stupid. If someone sees you, it's not going to matter if the gun's loaded or not. You'll get in plenty of trouble. Maybe even end up with some chippy shooting at you. It was mid-morning and the Saturday traffic was light. He settled the crosshairs on a woman behind the wheel of a blue Toyota. The woman's window was half open, and the round collar of her sleeveless blouse was fluttering. Todd centered the crosshairs on her temple and dry-fired. It was bad for the firing pin, but what the fuck? Pow! He whispered as the Toyota disappeared beneath the underpass half a mile up from the slope where Todd sat. He swallowed around a lump that tasted like a stuck-together mass of pennies. Here came a man behind the wheel of a Subaru Brat pickup truck. This man had a scuzzy-looking gray beard and was wearing a San Diego Padres baseball hat.
You're that dirty rat. That dirty rat that shot my brudder, Todd whispered, giggling a little, and dry-fired the 30-30 again.
He shot at 5 others, the impotent snap of the hammer spoiling the illusion at the end of each kill. Then he cased the rifle again. He carried it back up the slope, bending low to keep from being seen. He put it into the back of the Porsche. There was a dry, hot pounding in his temples. He drove home. He went up to his room, masturbated.